How's it going, everybody? And welcome back to the Russell Lynch podcast. And we have on the line a buddy.
A lot of people.
The manager of the contracts, the master. How is that right?
The master. I've been in the
Hello Esquire first, so. What's going on?
Years that maybe that name would have rubbed off by now, but I have to re-educate.
Already.
I get on just exactly who Buddy Sotelo Esquire really is.
And the Russell Mix podcast.
Been in the business for six.
I, of course, Louis Costa. You forgot to introduce myself.
And of the Russell Mix. Really great. I do want to say I've been a big podcast. I've been listening. Well, to it, all your different interviews that you've had on there, and to be a guest. I'm really honored.
Well, buddy, we're honored to have you here tonight, too. We love getting guys on. That's
all. On your show tonight.
Our main stitch of interviews, I guess.
Well, I did have a lot of admiration of some really good succeed in the way and become Nexus, sort of a talents that all really influential got together and didn't exactly have the right direction. Bay Area wrestlers, so some other things we'll talk about tonight. It really did that I was really hoping it was sort of a thing that it would. However, the new federation that I'm working with, California Champion, having its first match on 30 is wrestling the grounds on May the 6th.
It's in California, I assume, right?
And that's moving in the right direction, and I'll talk more about that later on.
And that's in Pleasant.
During this interview as well. Yeah, the directions are all at alameda.com and details. Our website is californiachampionshipwrestling.com, and there for more county fair. So check.
Cool, and I'm sure we'll go into the card later on in the podcast. But let's first get started. When did you first wrestling in general in your entire life?
Well, I particular street on California. On we moved. My family moved there in 1972. I was born in San Francisco, and I grew up in Tip. Then when I was five,
start watching, just run
in San Francisco that shall remain nameless, and then I moved to Tiburon. Grew, not to mention, and I also got a lot of cable in the area. We got big time wrestling. I was one of the first ones that got playing. The Roy Shire promotion was on, and World Class, and on early and past. There was also a lot of AWA that was on Ganya production, the NWA stuff, and also we were getting, and then later global wrestling. And championship wrestling. So I was exposed to a lot of also the very early wild federations from the early. Just there was a whole lot of up there, and by WWF soon to then become the WWE. I remember there were a couple of hours on at that time. There was basically this Bay Area power. They would start off as the Wally George show. I don't know. Do you remember who Wally George was?
No.
He was this white hair. Do you know who she is?
Linus.
No, he's actually the father of Rebecca De Mornay, Tom Cruise. Yes, and when she appeared in Risky Business with Miss and very wacky soon-to-be fame, he disowned her and didn't talk to her for 15 years because he was so, basically a high right-wing and upset at her, racy scene because, she was for about, I'd say in that movie, in that call girl in that film, just the character that she presented. That he didn't care throwing out there for years. Anyway, he ran this talk show called the Wally George Show, the precursor to the trade, made him so upset. Really was the, Geraldo type, the stuff that we see on things like Maury Povey shows that are outright things, Hannah, I know cursed that. Well, he would whip everyone into a frenzy because no one would lead right in. Well, he was like the prince to the WWF Roddy Piper, really, coming out of a hiatus at that time. It was the early 80s, and really they had just picked up
Wrestling Federation's on.
Sergeant Slaughter, the Junkyard Dog, working great matches then. Jimmy Superfly, his heyday at the time. And it was hard. Tito Silva was really, Paul Orndorff, Snuka was really, not to get wrapped up in all of those great persons like Hulk Hogan, personalities, and some of the great talent.
I didn't know we had so many back in the early days of cable.
So we're in the ring at that time.
What channel was Mid-South on? I don't even know we caught that out here.
Oh yeah, you can. I had.
That's right.
You touch it well because Turner Network. So it was NBS, I believe, access to like the, you know, it's the superstation. But you know, good old Big Buck Teeth and all that. Billionaire Ted was wrestling, you know, to the an art form confines of Tiburon, California, and I just soaked it in. You know, wrestling is to me, Lewis, and fighting. I don't care if it's UFC, karate, watch it for that. And so, MMA, an art form. And you can see boxing, whatever it is. Some people don't recognize it as such. They think all brutality, it's sad watching it on a movie, century. But I don't know. It's there's something in the actual fighting, whether you're, there's really an act of screen. You're reading about it, fiction motivates people. It's something that excites people. And that's one of the missions of CCW, is to back to people's. It's something, I don't know, wrestling is headed today, especially when you look really just sort of, instead of, I think we're towards something that is more drama and days to watch some of me. I found it almost unwatchable, the WWE line, if you want to add the Raw and SmackDown. At least the intros where they're 20 minutes on stuff. I just want to see you guys get that going off for about 50 for the watch or just plain flat-out boring action. I either find uncomfortable.
So are you telling me that God will not appear at the next CCW show?
I have, like, been honest with you since Paul. You know, I...
like that?
I've gotten out of the storylines. I think God...
You got booked in the main event, right?
The short shrift, and then Eric Bischoff found a way to worm his way into the WWE. I was never back in the day. I don't see how the average fan of Bischoff's value. And I think that you can see the visualization is right now. And it's just the WWE. There's a big word you can use of where the WWE is. People are not in. That's actually a way to the storylines. And I mean, cool back then it would be. And, you know, there were things that I liked back in the midst. There was stuff that was rough days. I mean, really. You know, feuds were based more on doing the ring and what they were, you know, pull down other people, the other guy, than it was, you know, having people, young guys, what they can got into the ring, those pants and kiss their butts, or the billions, you know, that's just...
Out of all those wrestling...
Something I never really believed in, and I've never had to do as part for that thing, or my career, and I'm very thankful.
Federations you just mentioned, what was, like, your favorite, or did you have... Back in the days?
I'll tell you which one. Two. I really loved the, you know, if you remember.
Do you have, like, one favorite you like?
Williams, Dr. Death. I'm sorry?
It was after Mid-South when they tried to go to...
Oh, a great guy.
That's
really
after Mid-South, right?
In it had, you know, Steve Fed, and they had Pushing Up the Daisies was in that one, in that Sting, in that Fed. Terry Gordy, now a little while, and, you know, they did, it was sort of an offshoot of But to be honest, it was just so much NWA talent. Oh, there was times where the WWF fun. I mean, when you're with you, I just loved it back to like when there was the first Saturday night's main event. Enjoyed. I was actually went down to the LA, which I Romania. I bought a ticket. My brother and I went to Coliseum. The second actually went and watched WrestleMania 2 and Hulk Bundy in the cage and all the rafters, but it was still Hulk Hogan versus King. We got cheap seats. We were way up at the top. Something that made it into that stuff. That horrible impression. I went to the WWF's World Circuit Television. WrestleMania 1, remember that there used to be stuff like closed circuit back in the day, but the days before pay-per-views, that's how you had to get it, because they didn't even exist back then. Pay-per-views didn't even... The WWE generated, because of the led to the stagnation, it's taken over all the other different federations, and it's really where wrestling is, and it's a duration, and you only work off an entertainment form. Sad state of
what... W and WCW.
So much excitement, and now the one big thing of the sport, you know, as a whole.
These are mid-80s. Are you more of a fan of, like, the Russian, like, you're talking about, like, in the 80s?
I have Vince's idea.
More of the time, or was the Attitude Era of the late 90s with the East?
No, it's the 80s. 80s and up to about, like, 1990. In fact, I didn't really broadcast around. I liked ECW. I never got to see much of all the different wrestling. As much as I'm federations that I did see back in the day, ECW just wasn't really... thrill of ECW. And some of the stuff I saw, I just went with the quote, the late days of wrestling. I think that a number of the wrestlers, although their style has improved, was headed in the right direction. Right now, they're not garbage related. Yeah, guys actually getting the stuff that's so good. Resort to that in TNA. I'd like to see having to go to the hot stuff. And I just sort of tried to stuff that's so extreme. And that's one of the reasons why I thought PWI for so long proved with age is that they really didn't have a lot of the hardcore stuff. I was actually in view. It was the ironically hardcore matches that they actually did. And I'll tell you, being involved in one of the few I think I've ever done, other than, you know, although sometimes you see them a little recently for being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Eddie Corvin.
It was a hardcore match you were talking about, but I wasn't intending
to. Yeah, away from the hardcore. It was over. It was me, Lathrop, me, and Big Ugly against Modest, and what was going to happen. We talked about some stuff.
What? Remember
this. Manager. And, okay, we... venue, and as soon as I got out there, and I'm talking within, 5 or 10 seconds, thing that I thought was Donovan Morgan, not one second, was the most chaotic, just...
I don't remember that.
Grab the ugly stick. I don't know if you're familiar with the stick that Big Ugly carries around with him. It's a 2x4 with barbed wire. Grab that thing, and I held the ugly stick. It's severe choke slam. I didn't want any of the fans grabbing it, but I also, it's going to mess with me that much. I'll do it for life. I'm just holding this thing, and I can look menacing. But I did wind up taking I also took a belt with got my comeuppance on all of that. But being from Don at the end of the match, so Morgan, that I had no idea was coming, and just basically seeing people go through something like that is going down, just being scared, chairs flying around, and, you know, if you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, when you're going to get hit and tables, and that's the way a hardcore match is all about. So I don't wish that, and as a, you know, those sort of things really on anybody in his bumps in his time, I found thinker left to the manager who's kids in wrestling, and us older guys who have managed to survive this long, you know, you want to preserve your dynasty, manage through a weekend. I have how a guy like Shane, he goes through every single time that he goes.
Stuff.
Well, my hat goes off to him.
Now, how did you first get involved with the business manager and all that good style of wrestling? How did you first become?
How I first became a manager, as I said, I'm a kid. And then wrestling kind of went through a love wrestling when I was a little. I still liked wrestling ball, so I started getting old. My friends occupied, so it got popular again in the 80s, and I actually worked with in the early wrote a professional wrestling game with dice and charts in the back of the high school to a tiny classroom because we had absolutely nothing to do. We were so poor. I didn't pay much attention. I went from doing that to actually doing a little wrestling talk show in Cup Show. I used to come in. Oh, they were such nice guys. To the give a wrestling report at noon week to the during lunch and to the college and I had my fans who always looked back then and then. There were a lot of people that wanted to know about the Four Horsemen. From there, I was going on with the Four Horsemen. Went to law school, and I graduated, and I was at home from a blood disease. Passed the bar, and I went to the Bay Area when my mom got sick and died. And because I moved back to the Bay Area because of that. And you don't want to hear on television saying, professional wrestler or man, people who were there. And so I called and I actually spoke to Donovan Morgan, detrimental in giving, and, you know, was the guy that I think was in me that respect. Donovan really believed in me and would survive to begin with, that I could be something in professional wrestling. Without him, his instant interview to just, you know, I'm not sure I could have made it through some of the early parts in APW and believe what I went through to be a professional wrestling manager today. So I definitely want to take time out during the APW thanks to Mike Modis, to give thanks to Frank Murdoch, and there's just, I saw an ad for all the other people on and on about, would you like to become Mark Smith? I mean, it's just worked with me that helped me get along with Shang Dynasty. I had a chance to talk, I mean, there's guys like Samoa Joe that I worked with in high school, Christopher Daniels, and things that were so encouraging, Frankie Kazarian, Johnny Nitro, you know, that Cena, that I hung in so many ways. Already, it's amazing where they are just them before they were big stars, and they were just guys that were just happy to be out there working and doing, you know, whatever they could to make it, and to see them succeed, and to, you know, impress the fans there, and that sort of work ethic, normal everyday when they go, is something that I take great pride to, and it is one of the great things. So well, you know, when you're involved in indie wrestling, I mean, you see so many guys come and go, can't go on. Really hard, and sometimes because of injuries, they just life usually in us and dreams, and they trust. But the people who stay are able to fears, and they do something else. Certain something about them, that certain sort of reason that they want to be involved in the bit, you know, on the bit to really, be, you know, because they've got that become something special, and it is great to see people, you know, like Mills become something as, you know, they Mark Smith, like Christy, thing really big days like they are now.
How did you go to, like, the manager's camp, pro wrestling camp?
Yeah, it was a man.
How did that differ from the regular?
Well, yeah, I camp sort of with
Debbie at the time.
Basically, me and Vinny Massaro. And Vinny Massaro just beating the hell an hour and a half every set. Yeah, one of them was Vinny for about, like, there were other valets and managers who tried to work in, and Veronica, who turns out to be to Vinny's wife, have become, they have a child together and all that, so very, in a legal sense, and I did a pivotal part of Vinny's life as well, but basically needed my help, you know, it turned out to be, I told APW to help them in a bunch of ways legally, you know, I would, they really, like, not exchange that for me learning how to become a manager, and I'll tell you, it's been a fascinating road, and I think I ever would have imagined really doing to where it is now, especially, you know, getting a chance to be part of, but then part of PW in the beginning,
now,
and, you know, then no longer existed, and the PCW, and being twice, it was formed out of this new federation, and watching it form, it's just fast. Managed,
familiar with them.
Ivaro, when he became
managing APW in case
internet champion, and Mark the Bison Smith when he was super the character that I really couldn't talk on the mic, Destroyer 2000, which I took a guy who really didn't have any pop, you know, and it was really flat, just really loved. I'm wondering his career in APW, and we put a mask on, silent, great for him. We really did some and really made him into a hard wrestler, and he really took to that, and it was just great matches together. Just brooding by. And I worked primarily with them, and I worked with Boom Boom, and he wore a Turkmini, which is turned into Sheikh Ali Boom Boom, and he wore it in itself. We were one of those kafiyas, the headdresses, and literally right before, thank God, was just right before September 11th, 2001. So it just turned out to be right when that actually happened, because I wasn't going to go out and wave any more the Iraqi flag. You know, it's weird that we just really didn't have Iraq, and then all of a sudden, and we were doing that character, and then September 11th happened, so we had to drop. The heat with, you know, that was something. But then in PWI, I got to the time, and Jason Dedrich, and of course Malachi, who wound up in PWI, folded. Blackston, Frank Murdoch.
Yeah, what roles did you have in APW?
And
besides of managing that, people might be know about.
Well, legal work for
exactly. What other roles?
I did do. You see, it was a difficult situation because Roland basically ran the company all by himself, and they really managed people like Bart. Some weird stuff going on there with the time. I don't know if they went on over there and. There was a lot of power structure incorporated, so there really wasn't any sort of true business structure. Just really in charge of what was going on over there, and it was sole proprietorship with Roland completely into there. And fortunately, you know, basically run moved to PWI, where, you know, that sort of thing was set up as a little bit better organized to move away. Up in an LLC, and, you know, the three principles of PWI, I think, station, and until PWI was going to be a successful organization.
Now, of course, you are, and like you said, now, do you look back? Of course, you know, you left APW 1.5 years ago, and unfortunately, Pro Wrestling Iron is closed and kind of regretting, hey, you know, Ed, that was about 4 and a half. APW still open. Maybe you should have stayed with them, or do you regret that decision looking back?
Because they were going to make me work. I would have rather retired.
Back?
No, not at all. And that,
just for that reason alone?
He's been slob, I'll tell you. That's a guy that is totally reprehensible in the wrestling business, individual wrestling for a long time, but if he ever evolved, I'd say, no, I want to work with, and wrestling does not need you. And no, they want to, you know, and with a guy I really thought of coming back, you know, stick me with a character, you know, the way things were done in PWI was much thing. I would rather be, at times in wrestling, you're told out of wrestling than to work with someone that I really, really, really didn't want to work with. It's just some more of a consent with, and, you know, compromise too many things in trying to exert power over another individual. I mean, that just happens in this, especially when it's a sense that one person is really not getting any of that in the way that APW was with it. And, you know, run like a fiefdom. I never got that sort of thing in PWI, and I'm certainly involved in wrestling. It's to me that you don't have to do that to be. I certainly know that, and it just proves PWI is doing things in completely different ways, where, you know, the guys, because they really are doing storylines that's involved, are in there, want to be involved in, and it's, you know, care, they really feel things that they are involving them in ways that, you know, are fun and interesting, you know, simply, and when they're old school, develop who they are, this they can do in the rings that they can do to ring versus just having to do really Chris. I don't know if I'm being totally clear here, but I've been watching wrestling for a long time. When that guy hits the finish time, realize that, you know, what you see now are just high after high spot. I even saw spot after high spot mean anything anymore on anybody. When I was watching the a finisher doesn't DVD copy of Beyond the Mat. They had some Katura and stuff, you know, commentary by Jesse Vince. You know, the finishing move is basically dead in modern wrestling. And I don't understand why that is. And I agree. That's one of the things I used to love about wrestling, was a wrestler. And, you know, I think that people are being known about his shirt, then the match is over, and that's why it moves. But, you know, DDT on somebody, in a way, the signature move doesn't mean anything. I mean, there was a day where Roberts would put a single, guys have their signature, you know, Jake the, and that was the end of that, you know. I finished people off with just a flash bouncing off the ropes. But, you know, that light somebody on fire. The Ultimate Warrior used to fight. I just don't see it. And, you know, basically, beat Bloody Pulp and then use plastic explosives. Then he has to wrestle in another match 100 miles away, you know, the next. Enjoyed wrestling to be the case. Because I, when it was just guys showing, and I don't see why that, what they could do with moves to each other. You know, you didn't have to always barbed wire and oh, things like that. You know, fire and broken glass and integrators and other and things just to get over. And I'd like to see wrestling return back to that. Respect back to their cheese grater. You know, I think it gives more fun in the ring versus anyone can use a chair, you know, a light bulb, actual stuff that's going on a person. But, you know, who knows a deep double underhook, a chicken wing submission is going to be about. But I think duplex or you know, not that that's all that CCW is. Those are things that I think uniqueness to watching guys do real moves again. And I, PWI, and even...
Yeah, besides the man.
That's one thing I really enjoyed about it. It's more of that than what I see a lot of times in a lot of these on indie federation sites that they'd have an obligation. Part that I wanted to have...
Now, what about... Pro Wrestling Iron, what was some of the different...
Donovan would call...
Or anything else you did out there in Pro Wrestling Iron?
Yeah, I helped form the LLC contracts. I mean, you know, wrestlers would come to situations with stuff that they'd be to me with conscience about, you know, certain like positions under different, were interested in that there. And me up, and Mike Modest would call me up or fax reviewing for contract or asking me questions for, you know, the other federations, Backyard and Lower M. And I did talk to Mike Modest a lot, WCW, when he and Chris Daniels were out there, and also the very short-lived and urban wrestling throughout his time. You see a lot of different sides of them.
Yeah, well, I heard the story about things.
Yeah, you know, that's a generation. I don't know if you remember. It's interesting when you are involved in the legal side as an attorney, and I was actually due with was the Brian Ong case. Actually named as a defendant in that case. This was first proprietorship. I had, when they realized that, you know, it being a totally sole proprietorial responsibility, filed, but then they were in the running of that federation. Plus, there at the time, I wasn't a witness that happened. I wasn't nothing to do with it. It's such a sad situation to Brian Ong. And this, I really had his family, and you know, I kind of wish that whole thing would just, you know, be able to get into the ring, sort of. You know, we see reminders of it when Dilip Singh in the WWE to go past that, and yet, and that Vince is pushing him. I mean, of all the talent that Vince has, kind of surprised that he bring to the well of out there. Those guys are a lot of guys that could get in the ring. I think have a lot more talent. You know, after Malachi, when I think about Bison's old workers busting their butts, and Dilip reminds me a lot of Django. He managed him at one loss, and that's not to say that he's not a nice enough guy. I actually Singh is kind of worked with him in APW, the light shows, and he's a nice enough guard in the movies, and sad to just see somebody that develop him as much of a person. He kissed him in no one's taken the time out to India from this mysterious guy doctor to APW to see him do interview, and I think that basically Dilip's never had much thing in his life except what Mar, who brought him a chance to do any ring, and what you see him do in the longest. Everything else is pretty much, you know, performing and getting ready to perform and lifting weights to die. But he just really here, and it's kind of, you know, and the business just almost a machine, almost more than that. You use him in the way human being but does, but you know, I don't know if he knows any different or any more different if it's echelon. But his life would be living his way through the caste system out there, which is just kind of, he was just in India, something I never thought I'd see or experience, and wrestling brought forward. There's a lot of wacky stuff out, sort of say some of these things, so I'm kind of glad that you have the podcast here so I can put on the air and stare, and I'm see what the reaction is to them.
What about Dilip? What was anything about, like, what he did before?
Better, from everything I could.
What's his life like in India? Do you know?
Just lifted weights. They found him basically in a gear, learned from.
Or he went to APW?
Yeah, he and his associates, is that they basically found, they said, my, you're healer, out in wasting away, and lift these weights. And they made him a bodybuilder and said, oh, this is a big, he was a champion bodybuilder. And then he found out about wrestling, saw wrestling on TV, Dr. Kumar, you know, thing, show business, you know, that's bigger than the thing. So he broke through the doors. It came out to APW, and Roland figured he could get his 20% about anyone that said weightlifting, international, like he thinks he can get out of APW. And he brought him, think that sell his name, and that Dilip paid much or anything at all. It was basically done so that, you know, Roland can for training. And when Dilip gets famous, what's happening right now, that Dilip's famous, sold his name on the website. So, you know, it's just, it's all part of a larger scheme. But in Roland went ahead, and you know, he probably would have you headquarters at the garage there. The guy that lived there, actually, he felt that was like palatial living to what he was used to in India. I mean, compared to here, he said, had to live, oh boy, that was, there's some pretty big loom of the garage doing fine there. Otherwise, it's there, and it was pretty rough living for the guys who did live there. It was pretty going on, back stuff I experienced. Wild to see that, but that's some of the other.
When you were talking about
in the early days of APW,
in a legal sense, you know, you're talking about the contracts where the promoter get 20% if you sign a contract.
Yeah,
like that,
but he made everyone else.
Is that even legal?
And there's just really, you know, the thing is for all sorts of other registered agent things, and in all of the ways these guys were being treated, and you know, Roland still doesn't. Independent contractors, and he never had any medical personnel there, and you know, I never did anything with insurance. I remember one time that Mark Smith face Dalip show. Dalip over his head in a lot, Mark threw, like, you know, 7-8 out his shoulder and just totally hurt his arm, emergency room, and had $100 out of his own pocket, and, you know, didn't really care. I mean, that letter, you know, watching it, or show basically was all called by Roland, you know, so that nobody else was, there was nowhere to be found for his own, you know, like 10, 15 people were there watching it. And, you know, getting ready to go to $700-$800 and pan soon and, you know, basically putting his livelihood to pay, you know, Mark was on the line, and then Roland doesn't even bat an eyelash in wanting to pay for it. You know, that's the kind of, you've seen it too, is so harsh and something that really is just business, yet in independent wrestling, and they just do it because the one thing, I guess, to, you know, lift a hand, you see that in your end, is just these guys, it's just really, and it's a lot of ways, it's an evil, guys are compelled to get in the why guys do it thing, and to get in front of the crowd, and to do anything to, you know, and perform, and something that is hard to relate, be in front of fans, unless you've performed before, it's just, and unless you're performing, being there with the crowd and all that stuff, and knowing that you have control of the crowd and go around and get their emotions, or you're a schlep, you're able to move people. It's a great feeling, whether you're a Shakespearean act like me in front of the crowd and going, is just, you know, yelling at everybody and telling them how much you hate their mothers, et cetera.
Yeah, it's good. Do a lot of the wrestlers just want to run,
et cetera, et cetera.
You're involved with them because I think a lot of these people are just anywhere. And there's opening up the CC a lot of opportunities, especially Northern California Russell. I mean, there's only good to hear that.
Yeah, we're really
a handful of federations having their first show this Saturday, May 6th. So,
it's going to be the upcoming show on May 6th. It's going to be an 8-man tournament for the championship. CCW heavy. We've got some great guys in there, including Lee. That's in that. We've got Adam Thornstow in it. We've got we've got Bonsai, Benny Massaro, Luxury, and Tito Akon on the card, Bruce. We've got Rick the Legend. I think I just named everybody, the Chupacabra, that they're we're also having Apollo, we're having Brian Chino, and Lesson Bulldog Raymond is on the card, and Pogo Joe Applebomber. So there's going to be a couple of us, and it's just going to be a whole evening worth of excitement, but a family, too. It is on the card involved. So it's going to be, you know, nothing too hardcore matches, not just going to be some end on there. And, you know, there's no late time that, you know, you have something on there. And I just think that it's about the area that you can take the TNA type stuff family out to. And all my friends pretty much now have, like, young entertainment to reconcile, you know, doing all this common in the WWE or violence going on and other stuff that's so QA TNA stuff audience. So the end to reconcile with all these, you know, young kids. I feel better about it's hard for me to going kind of old school because the older WWE was certainly more family. Your feeling is about that. WWF was, I think I like that a little bit more. I don't know what kids and stuff. So it's hard for me. I still think you can have lots of good old hardcore, but it can still be even on a more control level, and you can give guys, you know, that's one of the things that was just fabulous was to work moves in the early days of APW, who were moving, you know, the wrestler, and could show how you can work a headlock and how you can work in a crowd really far to get out. He was so good at that, and there's so many other guys we've lost since back to kind of new.
I'm closing down.
Up to Northern California, seeing so many, like, crazy high spotches over, because we've gotten so used to it. So, you know, I'm just saying that we can do the kind of excitement that I think everyone has and bring guys that are great at that and has grown to love over the era of wrestling by sort of going big.
Forcing Iron, what? Now, unfortunately, one of those opportunities in the Bay Area closed down about almost a month ago. Was
to the way things used
a year ago, if not, you know, I think they closed down. What is your opinion on pro?
Well, I mean, there's an easy surface explanation of the respect to that because honest moved on, and, you know, to help manage his parents' restaurant, talked to him the other day, Trinity area day, and he's got his second child, and you know, they're really focusing on his wrestling in Japan in a match with one of those early years and him and his family. So he decided, you know, for personal reasons, to move away and give a guy like Mike Mott reasons he needed his wrestling involvement. So, hey, you know, his due and really reduce on him running. Donovan Morgan was still taking God made him have his life. He moved to Florida, where his wife is making a lot of money and, you know, a nice, reliable income, and without the kind of burden that he had. The PW on most of the burden, but to leave, or something like that, at the same time, you know, and also flying to Japan. So the events he could, but a lot of them doing his matches. Frank Murdoch, and I think Frank did as well. People didn't realize that he, you know, it all came to, got dropped on the back of his head while in the school. This was like April of like 2004, April 2005. Was dizzy like a general in the Bay Area for months afterwards because he broke his sternum, and you know, a lot to wrestling. And he's also given, he's taken a lot of hits, you know, Frank Murdoch's career on PW for a while. But he's taken a lot of bumps, and he just sort of wanted to, you know, term totally flaked out things to a different direction, generate enough money. So they basically entrusted Veloza, who to San Leandro, this everything over to this guy. I don't know if people follow also after saying that he would take care of all and that he would take over PWI, he basically let all after everything things, and you know, the show that they had at San Leandro draw, they should have canceled him, and in the last shit, but Veloza wrote a check to San Leandro School that over, you know, for lack of a better term, on the account, which is a totally irresponsible business practice, who, you know, the last straw in charge of a federation that can do something like that. So anyway, they lost, retire, and move account couldn't be brought up. It led the we can't have someone generate enough money to pay on the warehouse that they were renting, where they really couldn't to keep up the school, which was a pretty sizable property, and they went out of nobody there to take wrestling until our business, you know, it just, there was into that. And I thought I was pretty much done, was approached by CCW to keep it running at you, and they said, you know, they wanted my help in running a new federation since.
Hype on DDBDs. How?
And then it's just been so exciting.
Interview, you're unfortunately diagnosed with.
Actually,
how'd you find out about that? And, you know,
yeah, the hard way. I found out about it watching the hard way. I was actually NWA TNA on TV and I took an ant in November, didn't, got acidy again. I took another one and I threw up. I started, and this was right, really acid over the place. And that November of last year, I kept throwing up. I went to my wife, the tonsillitis drove me to the emergency room. Well, first to the doctor, I mean, this medicine for